Recording is on.
Hello, and welcome to the April 12th, 2020 meeting of the Credentials Community Group. Today, our topic is NFT identity. So there's been a huge explosion and increase in using NFTs for identity, along with exploring how they could potentially support some of the work of decentralized identifiers and verifiable credentials. Today, Simone and Taylor and I have kind of joined forces in this idea to bring a handful of folks to present on visions of NFT identity. This is really an initial conversation that we're hoping to start in the CCG to explore how NFT identity and decentralized identifiers and verifiable credentials can kind of work together. I remember my first interaction with blockchain-based identity was in 2016 at IIW, and a lot of those conversations resulted in what we know today as verifiable credentials and decentralized identifiers. There's a lot of new folks on the call here today from different communities, so I just want to give a brief introduction about the W3C community group. The Credentials Community Group is a community group within the W3C, which means that it is an open organization, an open community group, which anyone can attend as long as you sign the IPR agreement. And I'll put a link to the what you need to do to join. Anyone can join. You just need to sign the IPR agreement. And what's cool about this IPR agreement is and the structure of the CCG is that it allows a community of people from different companies, potentially competing companies, to collaborate together on work items. And that's really the purpose of this group. The Credentials Community Group incubated the verifiable credential work and decentralized identifiers before they went off to create their own standards. There's been a lot of rumblings about using NFTs, and I see them as the rails for Ethereum native identity for a variety of use cases. And some of those use cases we looked at here and designed verifiable credentials and decentralized identifiers for those situations. And I think there may be other situations that are more suited for applying an Ethereum native identity layer. And so I'm hoping that the group of folks that we have presenting today can talk about this. All right. Okay. So want to just remind some folks about some of the, we have a very particular process that we follow here at the Credentials Community Group, how we run meetings. First of all, I just want to remind everyone that by participating, you are agreeing to the Code of Ethics and Professional Conduct. I'll put a link into there. We get very passionate in this community, and I appreciate that we have such strong opinions and conversations. But at the same time, we need to remember that there are people from many different perspectives and worldviews, and so communicate that disagreement in a respectful way. As I mentioned, anyone can become a member of the Credentials Community Group. I put the link in before. I think if you do need to have a W3C account to join, I believe if you just, let's see if I can find the shorter link. Here we go. Here's the community group's main page, and from this page you can click the join or leave this group, and you'll just have to create an account. Okay, so presenting, if you've got comments that you want to make. So here these minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at our meeting minutes, and we'll go ahead and send a link out to the CCG list. If you have a comment or a question you want to ask any of the presenters or the moderators, please add yourself to the queue. You can do that by typing the letter Q plus, as I've just done. If you want to remove yourself from the queue, you can type Q minus. If you want to add a note for what your comment is, what you want to say, if there's a bunch of people in the queue, you can type 2 plus and then 2 the thing you want to comment. And I've just showed some examples of that. We might see some other comments in there. You don't need to pay attention to those. Chairs use it as well. This meeting is held by voice, not IRC, so off-topic comments are subject to deletion from the record. Okay, so first thing I want to do is introductions and reintroductions. Actually, I'd like to kind of keep this short because we do have a lot of folks on the call. Actually, I'm going to skip this today. But I will not skip announcements and reminders. Do we have any community announcements or reminders? If we do, please add yourself to the queue. I know IIW is coming up. Does anyone want to make an announcement about IIW?
It's we're basically sold out.
Well, congrats on that.
Yeah. So I wasn't going to announce because you can't really buy a ticket anymore anyway. So.
Well, great. What's the cap?
We were going to be capped at 250, but there's still like sponsors who bought tickets who haven't registered their people and stuff. And yeah, so. We'll see where we actually end up, but right now, we're officially to the, you know, people walking up to the Eventbrite door. We're not selling more tickets.
Got it. Cool. Thanks. Any other announcements or reminders? Okay. Okay, so let's go straight into NFT identity so that we keep the majority of this meeting focused on that. At this point, I'd love to hand over to my two partners in putting this together, Simone and Taylor. I know each of you have some words you'd like to say, so whichever of you wants to go first, feel free.
I can hop in first real quick, and I'll make this pretty brief. To leave more time for the conversation. Thank you, Heather and Simone, and obviously others that have been behind the scenes working on this, as well as all the other work within W3C and CCG. This has been a nice little window into that sort of administrative world and all that goes into it. So, I'll keep it brief. Taylor Kendall, I'm with Learning Economy Foundation. And we work at the sort of nexus of Web3 open standards and education and employment. So this conversation is definitely of interest and sort of squarely in the sights of what we spend time on. So, I think what I wanted to bring here really is just, I guess some level setting and, looking at it from a kind of bigger picture, and really value judgments aside. I mean, obviously there's a lot of technical and philosophical views on kind of NFTs and Web3 and what it means to, you know, to this work, and to just sort of the evolution of technology broadly. And I think in this discussion, as well as just sort of this community at large as a society, I think it's important both to just listen and make honest attempts to truly hear each other, agree or not with, where this world is evolving. I think NFTs have clearly sort of entered the zeitgeist. That's clear, I think, culturally and technically and financially. You've got, you know, major brands, Adidas, Lamborghini, Taco Bell, Budweiser, Coke, Pepsi, Nike, Samsung, all of these having kind of entered into the NFT game in some way, and Starbucks too. They recently announced they'll be doing something in the NFT game before the end of the year. You've got big sports players, NBA Top Shots, NFL All Day, obviously big celebrities, for better or worse, Paris Hilton, Jimmy Fallon, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, list goes on. Visa owns a CryptoPunk, MasterCard actually just yesterday filed 15 NFT and metaverse related trademarks. So again, I think, you know, sort of value judgments aside, my view is that it's naive, maybe even irresponsible to entirely dismiss NFTs. They're they're here, you know, much like blockchains and digital currencies and things like that. They are here and having an impact. So for me, that's actually the opportunity. You know, those that have spent years working on standards like DIDs and VCs, I think have a lot to learn actually from, the sort of quote unquote crypto degens about, you know, memes and culture and seeding adoption, things like that. But also, and more importantly, those building and buying JPEGs on the other side can learn a ton from the value of process and patience and, you know, building and putting time into more durable web standards. So that's kind of my take, is that yes, they're here. There's a lot to learn from each other. And I think just listening and being open to new ideas is more critical than ever. I think we're living in a time of a lot of either or as opposed to both and narratives. And that scares me. And I think should sort of scare everybody that we're in that sort of either or, whether it's politically or technologically, mindset. And so I think this is an opportunity to move towards more of a both and mindset. So thanks for allowing me some time and excited to dig into the conversation with others.
Great. Thanks, Taylor. Simone, can I pass it to you and then let you introduce our first speaker?
Thank you, Heather. Hello, everyone. Simone here. My day job is with Parchment, a company working in the digital credentials for education space, specifically higher education. And at night, or the rest of the time, I try to build out the global credentialing ecosystem, particularly across education and work. In W3C, I have the pleasure of co-chairing a specific task force that looks at verifiable credentials in the education sector. And really, as if W3C is really trying to work on how the web works, I think NFTs are kind of too big to ignore. And although it feels like we're building different camps, you know, when you try to build consensus across standards or technologies, it's as Taylor said, it's not either or, it's and. And I guess my hypothesis for this conversation is that NFTs are good for both verifiable credentials and DIDs. And with that, I mean that there are positive externalities that NFTs could bring to standards making, and effectively that means adoption. Because in my view, and not just in my view, you know, the standards only really come through adoption and everything else is just specifications. And the way NFT are really helping with adoption is that, you know, they're just getting millions of people onboarded to using new primitives and tooling that are new to, you know, Web3, like setting up a wallet, you know, minting an NFT, or just understanding what gas fees are and keys management and so on. And so the cultural attractiveness of something that may look like just your profile picture, or that is expressive in terms of representing your identity, has gotten a lot of people to onboard already. And I guess as people are on that learning journey, they will understand, you know, what other tools are there, what other primitives they can use, and when it makes sense to use verifiable credentials or DIDs rather than NFTs. And I guess the idea for this first conversation was to set some kind of observatory that would bring in different opinions and to elevate the level of the conversation, and maybe as an outcome, understand what are the use cases that are better served by NFTs and the ones that are better served by VCs and DIDs, or when they could combine. And that is really what we wanted to try to instigate with this kind of first chat. And to do that, we have a number of speakers here that will help us get down this road. And I actually like to call on Evan, if you want to go first. Evan, please, thanks a lot for joining us. The floor is yours.
Go ahead. Sorry, just a quick note. What I'd like to do is have the speakers each do a 5-minute talk, and then we'll keep the rest of the session for Q&A and conversation. So if you've got questions, please hold it. You can add yourself to the queue, but I'm going to let all of the presenters present first. So sorry about that, Evan. Over to you for 5 minutes.
I think we lost Evan.
Oh.
Like, I can hear you. Oh.
I can hear you, but is...
I can hear Manu and Heather.
Evan's connection is gray. That's the only reason I'm saying.
Yeah, I think we might have lost her. Yeah, so let's see who we can go next. Let's see. We'll come back to her. Alina, are you ready to go next?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you great.
Great. And just apologies, I am feeling a little bit under the weather, so my voice might sound a little bit off. But great to be here. My name is Alina Kaduri. I am a co-founder and CEO at Doc. Been working in blockchain space and kind of blockchain identity space since 2017. And on the topic of NFTs, I think kind of a little bit of what's been said, but I think the popularity of NFTs has been really interesting to see because it's really shed light on use cases for adoption for technologies that are backed or enhanced by blockchain beyond providing financial assets. And I think what we're seeing now is some of those use cases are overlapping with identity and kind of what we've been, you know, working on for a while with identity. So things like being able to prove ownership over a digital asset. We're seeing things like PoOps, which are proof of attendance protocols. So NFTs, you know, if you attend an event or a concert. And we're also seeing NFTs being used for sort of like identity symbols in some ways. So, for example, like showing a status or an endorsement of something. And so I think what's great about that, I think Simone was mentioning this really well, is it has kind of set the stage up a bit for adoption of VCs with the kind of introducing ways that we can enhance kind of what we're doing using blockchain technology. Where NFTs fall short, I'm going to say at least for now, because I know some of these are being worked on, but NFTs exist on-chain. So there isn't as much kind of interoperability and accessibility with non-Web3 applications. At Doc, a lot of the use cases we are working on are more kind of in traditional Web2 space. And so having, you know, identity assets, so to speak, that can be used across different applications is really important. Whereas an NFT, you know, would only exist on Ethereum or Solana or the chain where it's created. And there's kind of a number of other issues that go along with that. So a big one is privacy concerns. So if an NFT is being used for an identity, there could be PII data that's being put into the NFT and put on chain. There's issues of immutability as well. There could also be transparency into transactions. So you could see that, you know, an NFT was in my wallet or someone's wallet. They're extremely susceptible to fraud. Kind of see that over and over again with, you know, fake NFTs being issued and sold for millions. And it's also very expensive to transact, on the blockchain with NFTs. With VCs, it's, you know, extremely, you know, very little to, actually issue them, and verify and do a lot of the transactions. Whereas when it comes to NFTs, there can be very expensive gas fees. But I do think that they can work really well together. I think VCs can link identity information to NFTs that's tamper-proof and privacy-preserving. And a few examples of that are, for example, being able to identify the real-world identity of an NFT creator. And that could also, you know, be done, for example, with like zero-knowledge proof so that you don't actually, you know, have to know, you know, see that person's identity, but have some sort of verification in place to really prevent kind of fraud, knowing that, you know, the brand or the person behind the NFT is actually who they say they are. Also being able to prove, like reputation of NFT sellers. So right now kind of, you know, OpenSea and a lot of NFT marketplaces are, you know, there isn't a lot of insight into who's, you know, who's interacting there. So being able to kind of have a reputation layer that's connected to NFTs and also being able to prove qualifications to access NFTs. So VCs could be used, for example, if NFTs are only appropriate for people over a certain age, you know, being able to prove that there is a qualification there or being able to prove, for example, if an artist wants to issue NFTs just to their fans. And so connecting back to either, you know, being part of a community and different things. So I think my take, at least on it right now, is I think there's some really interesting ways that the two could work together. I also think it's really important to understand where NFTs fall short. We do kind of talk to different projects sometimes that are wanting to use NFTs for identity kind of use cases. So being able to really kind of articulate when one makes sense, when the other makes sense, how they can work together is really important. So go ahead and stop there. I'll hand it over back to you, Heather.
Thanks, Alina. That was great. Evan, sounds like you're back. Do you want to do an audio check?
Yes, we are back in action. Just had a random power outage. So thank you all for your patience, but really glad to be here. So pleased that I was able to catch the last few comments. Want to agree completely there. I think that, you know, NFTs, are a wonderful primitive optimized for, you know, public on-chain transferability. I'm a huge NFT enthusiast myself. I have ERC-721 tattooed on the back of my neck, but, I also think that verifiable credentials are almost like the other side of the coin, where in the same way that, you know, NFTs offer persistent global availability, verifiable credentials allow for a more flexible and organic form of data to more precisely describe the more abstract and evolving data that describes both individuals, organizations, you know, objects, et cetera. I'm really excited, especially about the NFT bid method and our ability to append human readable, independently verifiable data for things like provenance, being able to bind together the minting keys of an NFT with things like a human readable website, a Discord server, a Twitter handle, et cetera, email address. At Disco, our team focuses on the end user's ability to take custody of their verifiable credentials and manage them alongside the activities, self-sovereign activities that they already undertake in the Web3 world with their wallets. So we see these primitives as complementary to one another, but best suited for a variety of different use cases. And so for those instances in which traits are intended to be non-transferable, you know, I think that verifiable credentials are an optimal, approach. I think the limiting factor for VCs right now is the available tooling, right? We have no way to easily take custody of, manage, and then leverage our verifiable credentials across ecosystems in a chain agnostic or even web agnostic way, web 2, web 3 meaning. And so we're, I think, you know, in a really interesting moment in the evolution of this space, because we have ample use cases, we have abundant tooling around NFTs, we have burgeoning tooling around verifiable credentials. And so now we can gate access with, the, you know, the full spectrum of, you know, methods of human expression, from those that are sort of curated, such as NFTs, to those that are kind of earned or accomplished, such as verifiable credentials. And so kind of to the end of NFTs in place of verifiable credentials, I I am starting to see what I think is a potentially, you know, concerning pattern where we are leveraging assets not best suited for their jobs. And in so doing are exposing users to potential security risks down the line. And so, you know, depending on encryption to hold forever, making data public in, such that we might also make it private by encrypting things, you know, on chain, seems like an interesting exploration, but a temporary solution, given the reality of quantum computing that we know today. So I could talk about this forever, but I'll pause, and, you know, welcome other perspectives on this as well.
Great. Thanks, Evan. Fascinating. Dominic, are you ready to take the spotlight? Talk about what you're doing at Wall ID?
Sure. So, sorry, I just closed the window. So speaking after Evan is always a bit difficult because she says, I feel like the most important things, and the same goes for Alina. So I myself come more from the self-sovereign identity side of things. And thanks for the heart, Evan, but it's true. So we come more from the self-sovereign identity side of things. But, you know, we're Web3 enthusiasts too. And so obviously we explore all the project, like the most important projects that are popping up. And so we obviously also explore what NFTs are and how you can use them and why they could be interesting. I'm going to paste three links in the chat, which are white papers that we wrote a while back on NFTs. And we also wrote a white paper that compares SSI with NFTs. So if you want to dive a bit deeper and read the details, you can do that there. But I think the most important message that we already heard from Alina and Evan is that NFTs and verifiable credentials, or NFTs and SSI,
not as good a pattern as I thought you were implying.
Does anyone want to respond to that? And if you can add yourself to the queue, and even if you were not a presenter and you have a comment on it, you can add yourself to the queue, because I know we have other folks who work in the space as well on the call.
Quick response. I think, you know, what you're highlighting, part of the challenge, right, that there's no consent layer on Web3 wallets. So public keys in the blockchain ecosystem can be mapped to, you know, whatever token IDs others would like. And so verifiable credentials offer some ability to govern and manage attestations once they've made their way out into the ecosystem, granted reliant upon a revocation registry or similar, or, you know, expiration of those credentials and regular renewal. But, you know, to your very thoughtful point, NFTs have a diminished capability here, right? Once that asset is issued, the issuer maintains little to no meaningful control over its validity, and can only control that validity by controlling the points of access where it might be used.
Can I also say something?
Yes, please.
Awesome. Thanks. So I think that's completely right. And then another way to look at it is, you know, maybe there are interesting use cases that do not necessarily require revocation, you know, thinking about in the white papers, we list some use cases related to, I don't know, music, arts, gaming, where you basically want to build stronger bonds with your communities. And I think in those cases, you know, revocation may not be necessary. If I give out, I don't know, a certain number of skins that enable a person to play a certain map, I mean, not sure if you need to revoke that, right? Because people can just play the map, and then sooner or later they will maybe join, play different game, different map, different challenge, whatever. So maybe revocation is not everywhere important. That's the message. And then the second thing that I think is interesting is this concept of dynamic NFTs. So you could actually write smart contracts in a way that if an NFT is used, let's say it's used for access management, once or certain number of times, the smart contract can be changed. So in a sense, NFTs, you know, could be burned, if you will, after they have been used a certain number of times, or maybe even once. So you could build in certain life cycle management into the smart contract. But again, you know, you're completely right. If we look at typical identity use cases and access management the way we're used to, then we want to revoke things. But looking at use cases, maybe that's not so important for every use case.
Thanks, Dominic. One of the things that you said I thought was really interesting was you're talking about identity for non-humans, like legal entity identifier. And I think a lot of identity is important for supply chain use cases where there are objects and we might be tracking them and attaching data associated to a digital twin or something that, you know, goes through the supply chain. I know a lot of us in this community and a lot of the use cases for DIDs and VCs were created around the user-centric identity perspective, the human user identity perspective. And one of the things I think is really interesting about NFTs is that if we think about them from a human-centric identity, we are limiting ourselves to the possibilities. We're going to have significantly more non-human identity items in our reality, in our world, than humans. And so I'm just wondering if any of the presenters or anyone who's working in this space wants to comment on the applicability of NFTs to non-human identity.
Just one note, I think, so like in, you know, 2017, we saw a lot of experiments around supply chain that leveraged NFTs as a representation of physical assets to be sort of passed between wallets representing various parties. And without a reputation system policing the behavior of the parties around those objects, you kind of lose, there are a lot of holes in that system. And so I think the combination of NFTs plus you know, contextual off-chain data and representation and reputation of the parties and individuals making choices around those assets being tracked, leads to a much more holistic and robust full system.
Yeah, just to add to that, I think we're seeing something similar where we're seeing NFTs being used to represent kind of the goods that are being transferred or you know, whatever is being tracked. And then VCs, for example, could represent the credentialing for whoever is, you know, the parties involved, being able to have that be verifiable and traceable as well. And especially we're seeing a lot of it kind of in pharmaceuticals coming up, and then also a little bit in kind of food supply chain as well. So I think that's kind of another example of going back to being able to differentiate between the two, and where VCs can really add that kind of the confidentiality layer, representing the people involved, and then NFTs can represent the actual goods being part of the supply chain.
Thanks. Mike, I see you're on the queue.
Yeah, just speaking from the implementation side on, you know, track and trace on, you know, physical goods and credentialing and trade and stuff like that. There's three kind of key problems that we see from the NFT side. One is, you know, even in just using it to act as a digital twin, right, with no other data attached to it aside from, you know, what wallet owns it. One is, you know, for sure the reputation point that was brought up. The second is the privacy and trade concern side. Frankly, it's a privacy, NFTs are a privacy nightmare, right? You can trace this stuff down really well. For that reason alone, they will never see broad adoption because there's too many issues with seeing who transferred from A to B to C, et cetera. And then kind of that last piece is just that, and this is somewhat related, but is that information leakage side, right? And this is part of the reason that we're seeing good adoption so far around verifiable credentials as a notion, even from, you know, and you talk to folks in the industry, like I'm thinking in our case of like ag or ag byproducts, you know, organic type goods and things like that, you know, they don't care whether it's a verifiable credential or an NFT or whether it uses blockchain. Like they genuinely don't care, you know, aside from maybe some buzzwords for marketing reasons. What they care about is their privacy protected? Are they leaking information to a competitor? Are they only turning over the information, required to, you know, various regulatory agencies, et cetera. So there's a lot wrapped up in that topic. It's a great topic. And I think it's an interesting question, but just that chaining of, you know, who did what, or even just the wallet ID of who did what, would break, wars could start over that. Let's just put it that way. So.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Manu, you're on the queue.
Yeah. It's mostly a question. So, and this has been great, like, you know, fantastic discussion. And I'm, you know, going back to a statement that was said at the beginning of the call where, you know, the VC DID community has a lot to learn from the NFT community, and the NFT community, you know, could learn a couple of things from the VC and DID community. I'm wondering, what are some lessons learned in the NFT community that folks feel like the VC and DID community don't quite understand yet, right? So we heard from Mike, you know, about the traceability, you know, aspects and how easy it is to trace, you know, NFTs from point A to point B. That sounds like a lesson from the VC DID side to the NFT side. But what about from the NFT side? Like one of the things that comes to mind is like, there's a tremendous amount of buzz around NFTs and it's huge. It's a huge amount of buzz, right? What lessons have the VC and DID community not learned yet that the NFT community seems to be getting right?
Great question, Manu. Presenters? Responses? or others? Balaj, you're on the queue.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Great question, Manu. And just to say that I started a project that currently uses some non-transferable NFTs. And basically, I've one learning from operating around leads and VCs for quite some years now. I never had to explain once what an NFT or a non-transferable NFT is, neither to developers nor to users. And I'm pretty sure this is something that everyone have on this community have experienced trying to explain what DIDs and NFTs are, DIDs and VCs are, how DIDs differ, what considerations have to be made, and how many decisions we need to be made before a stack can be established. A lot of these have been removed from the flow of making an easy decision and convincing a user that it can actually work for them. I also have to say that it only works for extremely specific use cases.
Thanks. Dom, I see you're on the queue. You're next. Dominic from Walt ID, did you want to make a comment?
Dom, you're muted if you're talking.
Okay, we'll skip you and see if you can rejoin, and then we'll add you then. Simone, you're next.
Yes. So given that the framing of this conversation was also NFT and identity, I wanted to invite a comment from some of the friends that are here from Lens Protocol. Lens has been building an interesting protocol that really relies on NFTs to express, you know, identities, but also deeper than that, the whole social graph, you know, behind and identity. And so if, you know, Oscar or Uni or anyone wants to open the mic and share what they're doing, I think that would be a great addition to this chat.
Sure. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Great.
Amazing. So yeah, thanks Christoph for inviting. It's been really interesting. I didn't realize that it's kind of like two different camps. So I've just been kind of immersing in like, I think there's so much we can learn. Like, for me, VCs and DIDs are relatively new. I've worked in open source and within the Ethereum ecosystem for many years, but I met Simone recently at an event, and he really kind of schooled me when I went quite deep on kind of what's possible. So really here to kind of listen and learn. But in terms of the Lens protocol itself, so as Simone said, we are building kind of an open social graph on Ethereum. It's running on Polygon. So I think some of the points made about the cost of transactions are completely valid. I think finally we're starting to see some scaling solutions over time. I think Polygon is one of the first ones, but there will be many, many more, which will push the cost of transactions down to basically cents or even like way below that. So it doesn't matter too much, at least for relatively infrequent transactions. So yeah, what Lens protocol is, and I'll put a link in this chat, but it's effectively, if you think about social graph, in terms of something like Twitter, is the following relationships between different profiles. I mean, these profiles can be completely anonymous. It's quite up to you how you want to do it, but the profiles are represented as NFTs. They don't hold any kind of personally identifiable information. If you want to put your name in there, it's up to you, but it doesn't hold any kind of location necessarily or sex or age or anything like that. So it's really kind of, the idea is to break down these kind of walls between different, existing social protocols, where it's very difficult for new projects to compete with them because of network effects. So essentially having kind of this shared public goods, social graph. Developers can build front ends. If you're not happy with the experience you're getting on, you know, X front end, you can just build your own essentially. And, so we represent these relationships, these profiles and the follower relationships with NFTs. This also kind of in terms of, some sort of marketplace activity built in. So you can collect posts made by others if they so wish. We're also exploring private content. And, I think we've had some really interesting chats with Evan, some of the people from our team. With Disco, so really curious to see how we can maybe integrate some of these pieces for some purposes. But that's kind of a quick overview. So if anyone's got any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Cool, thanks. Dominic, I see you're back. Is your mic working?
Let's see. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm not sure if it's an answer to Manu's questions or just an observation, but obviously it's pointed out many times today, what NFTs got right is adoption, traction. And I feel like when we look at SSI, you know, seeing that we're looking at a three-sided marketplace that needs to be built, I always felt like the incentive structures for the most important group of a marketplace, which is the supply side. So putting it differently, the issuers in an identity ecosystem have been somehow neglected. So it feels like what NFTs got right is they found use cases by which the sources of NFTs, the issuers, if you will, the supply side, were actually incentivized to issue NFTs because they benefit financially from it. And so I think that is crucial for solving this whole adoption problem. Looking at SSI, obviously issuers, I mean, today it's difficult. And then if we could convince issuers to start, you know, doing their job, they could obviously also onboard a lot of people looking at, you know, potential issuers with the consumer facing apps they have and the large traction across various populations. So I think something to think about is how can we create incentive structures for issuers that lead to actual adoption? And maybe that makes sense to look at this. To look at the NFT world and how they did that.
Thanks, Dominic. Marty, we've got you next on the queue. Over to you.
Yeah, so plus one, Dominic, on the rewards network idea. I think that's absolutely critical. So one thing, back to Manu's earlier question about, you know, what have NFTs gotten right? One thing that is really interesting about the NFT world is platforms like OpenSea. So your average user can go out, create NFTs, but they are also, very inefficient smart contracts, on OpenSea. But I was curious just globally, like anybody answer this question, but are there any projects going on right now, like an OpenSea in did VC world, or other NFT platforms, you know, that have done a better job with more efficient smart contracts, for end users to, you know, be able to directly interface with the technology. Just kind of a global question for everyone.
Yeah. So if anyone has an answer to that, can you add yourself to the queue or speak up right now? Okay, I'll give it a pause. Oh, sorry, go.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so we're trying to make it very easy. We've got the protocol ready, and it's going to be live on mainnet, I think, in a couple of weeks. But we're also building front ends, and actually the community, the open source community, has already built front ends on testnet, where it's very easy, effectively like posting something on Twitter. That's the extent of it. You can set different settings, you know, for the metadata and other things like this, but issuing an NFT is as simple as posting into Facebook on the user experience side.
Great, thanks. Juan, I saw that you were going to answer the question, so we'll skip to you.
Sure, thanks. I guess I didn't quite understand the question. If there are self-serve platforms like OpenSea getting people VCs or using VCs for NFT, there are two different questions, but have different answers.
Well, just VCs or DIDs or those types of things. Just curious about projects that are out there right now. Nothing to do with NFT. OpenSea was just the example.
Of a sort of self-serve platform. I think that, at Spruce, Spruce, a company I worked for until recently, worked on a couple of self-serve platforms that, for instance, like tzprofiles.com
sorry to interrupt. We're losing your audio.
Sorry. My mistake. Wrong mic. There's at Spruce, we worked on something called tzprofiles.com that would issue VCs to people who need them for very similar use cases to what people are using NFTs for, like sort of basic, not very sensitive attestations that can be used to gate access to things. And there was a project to generalize that in open source called Rebase. There's a lot of self-serve VC use cases that people could probably mention here. In terms of self-serve DIDs, I'm not really sure. Maybe Ori can explain better, like how different side tree protocols, prototypes and variants have sort of a self-serve option. Sorry, I'm volunteering someone to speak. I didn't.
That's okay. We have a bunch of other folks on the queue.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think Marty, the TLDR is there is no OpenSea for us using for like an end user to get a DID or to register a DID or to utilize a DID not inside the constraints of a specific issuer or a verifier or having a wallet. And I do actually think this is probably like a pretty big barrier for just like casual exploration of what does this do? There's like a pretty heavy lift in order to like for an end user to like play around with something where there's a much less heavy lift for someone to just kind of like casually play around and explore what NFTs are and noodle around. Okay, we are coming down to the last few minutes. We got 5 minutes. Sean, you're on the queue.
Yeah, sure. I think I can probably make this quick because really plus, 100 to everything that's been said since Manu's question. Over at Salesforce, we are also grappling with this question of how did NFTs get such a great groundswell of interest, and they're on this hype curve, even internally to our organization. We have a huge team that has kind of rallied behind this idea of NFT cloud over here that we're playing around with. And it plays into the questions around, hey, is there a self-serve platform that's trying to start up and discover NFT capabilities relative to commercial interests? That's something we're exploring over here. And then in addition to that, building on to Dom's topic around, no one's really kind of like tackled the adoption problems for issuers. That's also something that we're trying to do. And so I think that's back to Menu's question, is that has really been a gap for VCs that we're trying to bridge internally, even at Salesforce, where it's not easy to pick up the concept of a VC and a decentralized identifier and build on those basic concepts into something that is a real use case, something that NFTs have done in basically like a marketing approach, is built this easy way to grok what an NFT is capable of. And smart contracts, while being a bit finicky and nuanced, like they're easy to bite off. You can kind of look up, hey, what is this smart contract capable of? What can it do? How does it build upon the basics of an NFT? And then, I can kind of squint my eyes and get to where, I can apply that to a use case that I think is relevant, even though, real rooted understanding and the crypto or the primitives of an NFT might not be there. People are able to extrapolate upon NFTs easily. So I think that's something that we all, and I take it upon myself as well, need to do a better job of evangelizing and creating really good grounding efforts in VCs and DIDs. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Great. Thanks, Sean. Okay, Nick, you're next. And then I'll I don't know. I don't want to cut you, Joe or Ori, off, but we're coming close to time, so.
Okay, I'll be quick. It's Nick Mayne here from Resonate Cooperative. We've been experimenting with verifiable credentials as a proof of support, so a supporter credential. So when a listener supports an artist, we issue a VC so they can prove that they are that supporter, and they carry that proof of support across the ecosystem. However, that is not a transferable token of any kind, and it's not tradable or exchangeable. That's not the way we work as a cooperative. You know, we're owned by the artist. Our root of trust is the community. So we've had a lot of discussions about NFTs, using NFTs, but we see them as, you know, potentially complementary. But it's that marketplace thing which gets people excited. And that's obviously a way for artists to, you know, make some money in a world where they don't get a lot of money out of streaming and the web as it is today. So it's a way that some people go. As a cooperative, we don't commoditize. Believe in commoditizing work in that way, but it's absolutely open for people to go that way, and a lot of people have done that. So that's how we see. But they do work. They're complementary. If you want the proof of derivation, proof of the art of the work being created by that particular artist, it's a perfectly complementary thing. We've talked with other teams about using it that way. Thanks.
Thanks, Nick. And Joe, over to you. Final comments.
Thanks, Heather. I just want to share the work I've been doing on interchain identifiers. I don't think either party has gotten it right in terms of the NFT and DidCamp, but this was put together as identifiers for NFTs. So how to identify NFTs. And then we also had identified a use case where the NFT has a need to identify things in the real world, right? So two layers of identifiers happening in that spec. And I think that the biggest challenge that folks I've been dealing with have been wrestling with is, how do you deal with DIDs from a different chain? So if I'm an NFT on Ethereum, how do I deal with any other DID from any other chain? And that's it.
Thanks, Joe. And actually, you set me up. The whole question of standards and operability was kind of a reason I wanted to invite everyone from the NFT camp to come talk in the CCG. I think there's a lot of overlap here. The CCG, our structure here is such that we have a structure for people to be able to collaborate on pre-standards work, on exploratory standards work. And that process is called work items. And so I hope this is just like the first conversation that we have. There's a ton of overlap. And what I'd really like to see is if, you know, those of you guys who are from the NFT camp to come play in our sandbox here and help us do some work items, help us learn the structures that you guys are working on, and how we can support those goals, the goals you have, and we can overlap with each other through some of these work items. So also, I know that there's some of us who would like to do work items. So if you're interested in collaborating on something actionable, you can follow up with myself, Taylor or Simone, or the other co-chairs. And also, I'm happy to have a part two where we can kind of find some more folks to present and continue the conversation. So thanks, everyone. And we'll see you next week. We are actually not meeting on the end of the month when IIW is happening. We'll send those updates via the list, and we'll send the recording of this session to the list as well. Thanks, all.